One of my favorite memories growing up was going to visit family. And they lived, a couple hours away. And sometimes we would spend the night, and sometimes we would ride home in the car late at night. Can everyone hear me? Okay? No? Now? Better? All right. Well, driving home, or actually riding home, because Mom and Dad drove, of course, I was about 12. This was 40 years ago in the 70s somewhere. We would lay down in the back seat, or we had a wagon. We would stretch out in the back seat of the wagon. And some of you might be scandalized, but no, we didn't have our seat belts on. I'm not saying that was a good thing, but we didn't wear them, right? And Mom and Dad smoked, right? Now, that's not a good thing either. A lot of people smoked back then, it seemed. So the windows were always cracked a little bit, right, to let the smoke out. Otherwise, the car fills. It was just terrible. So anyway, I have these memories of laying down in the back seat, or in the back, we always called it in a wagon. I don't know what the real name is. We lay down in the back. The windows were cracked. You could hear Mom and Dad, the murmur, right, of Mom and Dad talking. We had just had a wonderful visit with our cousins. My brother and I were fed, we're happy, we're tired, we're relaxed. You know, you're riding in the car, you got that going, and the wind. To this day, I sleep with a fan. I think because of that, it takes me back to that. And the radio would be on sometimes. Because, you know, I'll hear a song, and I'm like, I don't remember ever. We don't own that song. How do I know it? I'm convinced we heard it. Dad had whatever was on, right? Well, my point in this story is it was very comfortable. It was very peaceful. And sometimes when I can't sleep, I try to recreate that, you know, in my head. And I'll start thinking about Mom and Dad, and I'll cry right here like just now. But you never know when it'll hit you, do you? Grief is a strange thing. But so that was a very peaceful thing. We would get in the car in Newton, North Carolina, which is a tiny town, and we would be in Reidsville, my hometown, which is about 2 hours away. Lickety-split, before you know it. We'd barely get in the car. We'd get comfortable. I'd hear all these things, and man, I'm gone. And we're there, just like that. And then we'd have to, you know, go to bed, and Mom would try to have us wash, and we'd resist that. We didn't even want to brush our teeth, my brother. Anyway, my point is we would get there quickly, before we knew it. Now, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And I'm going to quickly summarize today's gospel. This is a famous passage, right? This is Jesus walking on the water. It doesn't get much more stupendous than this. I mean, what do you think if you saw somebody walking on the water? And not just any water. This was the Sea of Galilee. They call it a sea for a reason. It's actually quite large and quite deep, if any of you have ever been there. And it is subject to quite sudden squalls. It's surrounded by cliffs. And the water or the wind comes blowing in off that desert, descends those cliffs, and you've got actually some quite strong storms. And what whips up the waves is the wind, right? So not only, he wasn't walking across a swimming pool, right? He's walking across a large body of water with waves. Now, I was preparing for this sermon, and I wondered, was he going up and down over the waves? Or was he going through them? Was he dry or was he wet? I don't know. It's kind of fun to think about. Maybe I'm weird, but to me it is, right? So I'm thinking he's going over them, right? And his feet are maybe a little wet, but I doubt he's drenched. I'm sure he's not, actually. All right, so the disciples and the apostles, they've been in this boat. Now, the passage we read this morning or heard this morning came out of Matthew. But if you look at your Orthodox Study Bible, if you're careful, you'll see where it has a reference to the other Gospels that refer to the same story. They don't all track. In this case, you've got it in Matthew, Luke or Mark, and then John. And that's a little unusual here from the book of Matthew. A lot of his stuff doesn't show up in John for whatever reason. And some of it does. But anyway, this is in John. So if you go and read all three passages, you get different accounts of the same story. Sometimes questions are answered. For instance, it said immediately, all right? Well, immediately from what? You know, where are we? He had just fed. We're in the wilderness. The Sea of Galilee is like Gastonia. It's out in nowhere, right? And he had just fed the 5,000, taking the loaves and fed the 5,000. So immediately he sends them away. Why did he send them away? Well, maybe because it was evening. Or maybe, as you find out in John, the people wanted to make him a political leader. They wanted to involve politics in it. Boy, if that's not the bane of the church, I don't know what is. I don't know what's worse, heresy or politics. in the church. They both are just anathema. They both just ruin and spoil things. They're both part of this world. But anyway, maybe he sent them away. He sent the disciples out first, get in the boat, get out of here. And then he sent the people home so all this political stuff didn't infiltrate and poison the atmosphere. Then what does he do? He goes up on the mountain and prays alone. Now, when I went to seminary, we would have these great discussions between the former Protestants and the cradle Orthodox about corporate worship and prayer versus private worship and prayer. And some of these fellows thought, well, you know, if you didn't pray in church, you weren't doing it right, and they were correct. But then we would argue, if you're not praying at home by yourself, you're leaving out something too. And here it is, straight from Scripture, Christ withdrew and went and prayed by himself. It's not one or the other, folks. It's both and. You pray here and you pray by yourself, right? It's both and. So anyway, when Christ is done, it's late at night. One of the Gospels says the fourth watch of the night. So that's between 3 and 6 a.m. That's the dead of the night. These guys have been rowing, right? The wind is against them, one of the passages says. The wind is against them. The waves are against them. They're trying to get over to Capernaum, I think, which was Jesus' headquarters. They're trying to get over to Capernaum. They're out there in the middle of nowhere. They've got to be tired. They're really at their wits' end. It's stormy. It's wet. I doubt they feared for their lives exactly, but they probably would rather be sleeping, and they can't because they're worried about the storm. Have any of you ever experienced difficulty sleeping because of the storms of life? I'm sure you have. You're worried about the health of someone, finances, school, something has come up. Some big life change is staring you right in the face, and you don't really want to address it, right? Keeps you up. Well, this is essentially where they were. And Jesus comes to them in the night. He's walking on the water. They see him. Of course, this blows their mind. The gospel says they think it is a ghost. And they cry out. They're frightened. I would be too, I guess, you know. George is going to say, hey, I think that's Jesus. I'm like, man, get out of here. What are you talking about? And we looked at, no, I'm pretty sure that's him. It walks like him. It looks like him. I don't know how he's walking on the water, but it looks like him, right? So then we all said, George, talk to him, say something, right? Peter, actually, they would say, George is sitting right here. Peter, say something. So Peter cries out, is that you? Lord, command me to come. Good old Peter. That's why he's a leader in the church. So Christ says one word, come. It's the same thing he says to us, come. Peter, to his credit, the fellow had nerve. He goes over the edge of the boat, and lo and behold, he doesn't sink. Now, he's staring at Christ the whole way. I don't know how far away he is. Let's say he's from here to those doors going into the narthex. I mean, they could see him, right? They could tell who it was. Maybe it was a moonlit night. I don't know. I mean, it's dark. How do you see? Whatever. Maybe it was a moonlit night. They could see him. So Peter starts walking to him. You know, is he going over the waves? I guess he's doing whatever Christ did, right? Is he getting wet? The wind is going. George and I back on the boat are staring, going, oh, what is happening, right? What is this? And he goes, and he gets there. Now, he must be near Christ because when you read the account, something happens. At some point, he begins to sink. And the gospel says, when he took his eyes off Christ and looked at the storm, when he realized, oh, my God, where am I? Look at what am I doing? What am I doing here? What, you know, when he tried to bring some sense to this, he began to sink. He took his eyes off Jesus Christ, and he about sunk. Now, Christ was close enough to reach. And then he says, Lord, save me. Three words. Lord, save me. Christ reaches down and picks him up. That's why I think they must have been near, right? I mean, unless God just like scooted up to him, which is certainly possible, but I bet he just reached down and picked him up. So it's ironic that he got right to him, and that's when he took his eyes off Christ, and he starts to go down. That is a lesson for us too. When we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, that's when the storm of life, the storms, will overwhelm us. That's when we'll begin to sink, if we're not careful, into worry or anxiety or anger. Great day. The people I talk to who have anger issues. Hey, I get it. I get upset too. There's a lot of anger out there. You know, we want to talk about greed and lust. Okay, those are traps too. But let me tell you, folks, every one of you, anger is a trap. Do not let that seed get planted in your heart and do not let it grow. Anger at your parents, anger at your spouse, Anger at your job or your kids. Angry at God, that's the big one, because then all the rest of it flows from that. If you're angry, identify it. Come talk to Father Steve, have confession. Go see your medical. I mean, anger will consume you just as much as lust or greed, right? Be careful with this thing called anger. I see a number of people who seem to have an issue with that. I know we all have stresses, but don't let it consume you. Don't drown in your anger. Don't drown in it. Let it go. Now, that's easier said than done, I know. It's very hard. So what did Peter do when he's about to drown? Lord, save me. That is the shortest prayer in the Bible. Did you know that? The shortest prayer in the Bible. Lord, save me. Three words. Nice. You know I like Trinity. I like three words. Trinity. Lord, save me. It's also the basis for Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Mercy, save. They're synonyms, right? How many times do we say, Lord, have mercy in our liturgical service? Oh, I haven't counted. Dozens. Dozens. Lord, have mercy. It's also the basis for the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Coming straight from this prayer of St. Peter. What can we learn from this? What can we learn? How can we apply this? If you haven't faced storms of life, count yourself lucky. Maybe you're young enough not to have. But if you haven't, you will. Trust in God. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. If you keep reading the gospel lessons, you'll read at the very end, once Christ picked up Peter, all right? Then they go to the boat. Once Christ got in the boat, what happened? Poof, they were at the shore, just like that. Just like when I got in the car at Newton, poof, we were home in Reidsville. So if we trust in Him, if we keep our eyes on Christ with prayer, trusting Him for protection, for guidance, for wisdom and grace, all these things that we need, patience. Maybe just to keep it shut. Christ can help us do that. It's the small things, folks, that make a huge difference. We trust in Him to help us take that one step every day. It will help you. It will help you. Patience is often the answer. People come and talk to Father. People come and talk to me. It almost always boils down to patience. Patience and trust. Just keep on keeping on. And it will get better, slowly. Maybe not the way you want it to. We have to be open to that. But it will get better. There will be a resolution. We trust in God. His will be done. He sees the bigger picture. Think about these things and keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, not the storms of life, not your anger, not your frustration. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.